Like to invite Steve Milley up to do the scripture reading. Thanks, Steve. Today's reading is, it's a long one. It's Isaiah 26. Vinny, I ask God's anointing on you as you preach and help us understand it. I read it 5 times and I'm still all tangled up. But Judah is in a time of judgment and he's being chased and he's searching for peace. Maybe that'll help you understand it a little bit. And I'll read it, and then Vinny will preach. Isaiah 26. In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. He sets up salvation as walls and bulwarks. Open the gates that the righteous nation that keeps faith may enter in. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts you. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord God is an everlasting rock. For he has humbled the inhabitants of the height. The lofty city, he lays it low to the ground, casts it to the dust. The foot tramples it, the feet of the poor, the steps of the needy. The path of the righteous is level. You make level the way of the righteous. In the path of your judgments, O Lord, we wait for you. Your name and remembrance are the desire of our soul. My soul yearns for you in the night. My spirit within me earnestly seeks you. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. If favor is shown to the wicked, he does not learn righteousness. In the land of the uprightness, he deals corruptly and does not see the majesty of the Lord. O Lord, your hand is lifted up, but they do not see it. Let them see your zeal for your people and be ashamed. Let the fire for your adversaries consume them. Our Lord, you will ordain peace for us, for you have indeed done for us all our works. O Lord, our God, other lords besides you have ruled over us, but your name alone we bring to remembrance. They are dead, they will not live. They are shades, they will not arise. To that end, you have visited them with destruction and wiped out all remembrance of them. But you have increased the nation, O Lord. You have increased the nation. You are glorified. You have enlarged all the borders of the land. O Lord, in distress they sought you. They poured out and whispered prayer when your disciples was upon them. Like a pregnant woman who writhes and cries out in the pangs when she is near giving birth, so were we because of you, O Lord. We were pregnant, we writhe, but we have given birth to wind. We have accomplished no deliverance in the earth, and the inhabitants of the world have not fallen. Your dead shall live, their bodies shall rise. You who dwell in the dust, awake and sing for joy. For your dew is the dew of light, and the earth will give birth to the dead. Come, my people, enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourselves for a little while until the fury has passed. For behold, the Lord is coming out from his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity, and the earth will disclose the blood shed on it, and will no more cover its slain. The word of the Lord.
Amen. Maybe that message resonates with you. Maybe you have lost your song at some time in your life. Maybe you have lost faith because of a pothole that you have hit in life. Maybe you have felt your feet are unsteady on the path, or maybe you've grown tired of waiting on God in a particular circumstance, waiting for him to show up. Maybe you are worried about your name being soiled or forgotten altogether. Maybe you're tired of the enemy beating you down. Well, that's how Tina felt when she came to talk to me. She came to talk to me about some old memories that were filled with pain for her. And she said, what I see in my mind is I'm in a maze. And I just keep walking around in that maze. And I'm thinking to myself in that maze, I'm different. I don't belong with these other people in this memory. She's feeling pain. She's feeling upset. She's feeling sad. And she's carrying all this on her shoulders. You can see it living right here. I asked her if I could share the journey that she took in a period of time in one session together. And I'm just going to share it with you one word at a time. Some of it will make sense. Some of it might not make any sense. That's fine. The first word she said was confused. The second word she said was order. And I was like, Lord, you work fast. Then she said peace. Then she said calm. And then she said light. Blank space. A garden. Blooming. Growth. Nourishment and abundance. And the sun shining. And the winds. And the birds. And the breeze. Synergy. Symphony. Harmony. Streamlined. Then there was a person. The person's getting closer. The person knows me. It's a friend. Trust. Care. Support. Alliance. Protection. Then things change. Battle. Defense. Genuine. Jewels. Diamond. Strong. Endurance. Symphony. We're going back now, right? An old memory is emerging, a really upsetting one. The younger me, what does that younger me need in that old memory? I realize I actually have it, and I had it back then in that memory, but I didn't know it at the time. Freedom, persistence, resilience, inner strength, and that's where it stopped. This was the big memory that brought her to counseling. And after about 20 minutes or so, maybe 25 minutes of working on it, she felt no distress about that memory. No distress. A week or two later, she told me she was ready to be done with counseling because the work that she had done before that and that work, she was ready to be done and take the things that she had learned in counseling and put them into practice. In the last 2 years, I have seen that happen hundreds of times. And it's like I say every day, Lord, you give me a front row seat to the work that you're doing in people's lives. You heard those words, and do you know what? I didn't say more than 10 or 15 words in the span of all that work. I'm just sitting there just watching God do this. This experience reminds me of a verse that I memorized when I was growing up, and that is Isaiah 26:3, which is in the passage that we read earlier. It says that God has perfect peace, that his peace is perfect. And that verse always comes to mind when I watch someone who comes in turmoil, and right before my eyes, they have perfect peace. And I want to understand what God is doing in the quietness of these sessions. I ask myself and I ask God, can we live in that state that that person is in at that very moment? Can we live in that? Can we live in perfect and constant peace? Isaiah sings about God. This is actually a song that we read. And as I was listening to Steve read it, I'm thinking, wow, when we read it in English, it doesn't quite have that song. You know, it doesn't feel like a song. But listen to what's in this song in Psalm 26 and verse 3. It says, you, speaking of God, keep him in perfect peace. You keep him in perfect peace. It's a statement of fact that Isaiah writes here. God guards and preserves our peace. He preserves the peace of Judah in this particular chapter that we looked at. And the way I'll say it today is that God gifts us peace. God gifts us peace. When I'm sitting there with that person and they come to peace, it's not because of anything that I did. I cannot give them peace. I try to be peaceful and I try to be calm while we're working through these things, but it's not me. God gifts them peace. And we see that in this gift that God gives us and that he gives Judah in this chapter, that it is a peaceful song that God gives them. In verse 1, it says, in that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. He's talking about a future time. This is a prophetic message that is true in Isaiah's day and true today for us, but awaits complete fulfillment at a future time. We know this is about prophecy and end times, where this will be in full fulfillment. But peace now should be the soundtrack of our lives. It should be the song of our lives. I have one client that I work with, and in the middle of doing the work, very similar to the work I did with this other person, in the middle of it, she'll be working through a memory, and then she'll start quoting lyrics from the 1980s and 1990s, praise songs. And without fail, I always know the song that she's talking about, that she brings up. It's like, did we go to the same church? We sang the same exact songs. I know every single one of these songs. So this is our peaceful song that God gives us, a song of peace. It's our peaceful city, it says in verse 1. We have a strong city. In this city, unlike Babel, the people are not trying to become like God. They are humbling themselves under God. In Hebrews chapter 11, Abraham, it says, was confidently looking forward to a what? A city. Yes, with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. So it's our peaceful song. It's our peaceful city. It's also our peaceful salvation. In verse number 1, it says, He, God, sets up salvation as walls and bulwarks. So he sets up these walls and he says, this is salvation. And he says, open the gates that the people can come in and be safe with the city walls being salvation. So God invites us into this city, a new and peaceful way of living with salvation as our protection from the enemy. Our peaceful city, also our peaceful path in verse number 7. It says, the path of the righteous is level. You make level the way of the righteous. The idea is that we live in the will of God and he goes with us and he gives us peace, making the steep and the rough places level for us. This is what God does. It's our peaceful path. And then in verse 12, we see it's our peaceful destiny. Not only our path, but it's not just where we're walking, it's where we're going as well. Oh Lord, you will ordain peace for us. You have indeed done for us all our works. So the word will there is he will ordain. It's a certainty. God establishes peace for us. So yes, we can live in perfect and constant peace. But the thing is, why do you want peace? Why do I want peace? God tells us what should motivate us toward peace. And this is sort of the news you don't want to hear, right? God gifts us peace. Why did he gift Tina peace in that counseling session? He didn't do it for Tina. What? You said he did it for her earlier. No, he didn't do it for Tina. God did that for himself. God gives us peace, and he does it for himself. How do I know that? Well, verse 8 says, your name and remembrance are the desire of my soul. What's happening in Judah is that they need to come to the place where God's name is more important than theirs and where they're remembering him more than they're remembering themselves and thinking of themselves. Verse number 9, for when your judgments, God, are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. If God brought his judgment, as he will someday, to the earth, and he's doing it in certain ways now, but in the future when he does it, the world will learn righteousness. The idea is that God's decisions show everyone on this earth how to live right. God shows us how to live right. And that's the point of God giving us peace. When I live in peace and other people see that, it glorifies God. It shows that when I follow God's decisions and I follow God's ways, it shows the people in the earth how to live right. When people see God at work, they will know how to live. God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven. And you and I get to be a part of that by living this peaceful life that he's talking about. In verse number 10, it says, people will see the majesty of the Lord. In verse 11, it says, speaking of Judah's enemies, let them see your zeal for your people and let them be ashamed. So what God's doing in these times of tension, in times of upset, in times of suffering for us, is he's trying to bring us to a place of peace. But because he wants the world to see what a peaceful life looks like. So if you feel like your life is falling apart, the best thing you can do is to be open and honest and vulnerable about that so people can begin to see how God is working peace into your life. See, God wants us to have peace, but he wants us to have it for the right reasons. If we seek peace for peace itself, then that peace will become an idol to us. We seek peace because it is God who gives it to us and because he wants his name to be remembered, his judgments to reign, and his majesty and zeal to be displayed in the world. So I'm going to go back to the original question that I asked, which is, can we live in perfect and constant peace? Well, God gives us a choice. He gives us a choice. There is two cities here. There is another city that I can live in. This city is high and lofty. It's a high and lofty city, verse 5. This is for people who think that they can live in peace without God's help. This is a lot like Sodom, where Lot was. They didn't need God. This was not a peaceful place. If you read about Lot and Sodom, it wasn't a peaceful place. This city that God is talking about here is going to be humbled. It's going to be laid low. It's going to be cast to the dust. It's going to be trampled by the feet. This is talking about the enemies of Judah in this chapter in verse number 6. In this city, when we don't follow God's path and we go into this other city, it says that we will be ruled there in that city. It says, O Lord our God, other lords have besides you have ruled over us in verse number 13. When we go into this city, we can know one thing, we're going to be in bondage. It looks like freedom. The sign says freedom when you go in, and when you walk in and you look back, it says bondage. It's a trap. And Judah has gone out after other gods, and they have been trapped before. And other nations have ruled them that never should have ruled them. See, when I choose to live outside of God, then that is bondage for me. I will not have peace in this city that we're talking about. It says, I will give birth to wind, verse number 18. It says, it's like a pregnant woman who gives birth, but when she gives birth, no child comes out. It's just wind. There's no fruit from all that labor, from all that work. In verse number 18, it says, we have delivered no one. In verse number 18, we have won no battles, essentially. So you can see that the people have gone to this other city and they have found it to be a well that is all dried up. They're not seeing peaceful results. So what points have we seen so far? Yes, we can live in God's perfect and constant peace. It's a choice. We can live now in part what will be our full inheritance in the future. The International Standard Version says, God keeps us in perfect peace because we remain in him. A little echo of that found in the New Testament where it says that we abide in Christ or we remain in Christ in John chapter 15. So here on earth, we can always abide in Christ more than we are today. We can always give him more of ourselves. We can always lay more on the altar, as we sang about earlier. There's always more land to be taken, to use the analogy of the scriptures. There's more territory to be enlarged when it comes to taking on God's peace. So if we want this peace and we want it for the right reasons, then God shows us how to get it. And since 7 is the number of perfection, I had to find 7 words, 7 steps to talk to you about peace today. We'll go through them briefly, each one. The first one, step number 1, is to enter. In verses number 2 and verses number 20, I think, point to this. It says the gates of this city are open. The Holy Spirit is drawing you into this city. The Holy Spirit is calling you into this city. But you must enter the city to enter into God's rest. Verse number 20 says, "Come, my people, enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourself for a little while until the fury has passed." God is coming as a judge. And it says we hide ourselves. The New Testament makes it clear where we hide. We hide in Christ. He is our hiding chamber. This week, my oldest daughter got sick and she was resting, and she heard this awful siren. She's in the Midwest, so you can imagine what that siren was. It was a tornado siren. Get to safety, get yourself to the safety chamber. But she never heard the siren before. No one ever told her what the siren was. So she wasn't going to the safety chamber, let's say. Her students, her friends in the dorm had to go and grab her and get her to safety. Like in Hebrews that we read last week with Pastor Joe, while the promise of rest still stands, we need to get ourselves ready and get ourselves to safety while that invitation is still there for us. Today is the day of salvation. God is inviting us to find peace in His Son Jesus. He is the only way to peace. And like my daughter, the only smart move is to respond to God's invitation to peace and get ourselves in Christ, get us to that secure place. So the first step to perfect and constant peace is to enter. You must enter. You must enter into God's rest. Joe couldn't have made it any more clear last week. So if you hadn't heard that sermon, go back and listen to that from the book of Hebrews. Step number two is to stay. To stay. And then we find that in verse 3. It says, "You will keep him in perfect mind, a perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you." Weird way of phrasing in English, right? Mind stayed. What is that all about? What is your mind stayed on? What is your mind stuck on? What is your mind leaned up against? We talked about last week this idea of stretching out onto God, a little bit like the disciple John at the Lord's Supper. What did he do? He was stretched upon Jesus. He was leaned upon Jesus, and that's the sense of this word. And it's my experience working with people on their emotional health issues that 100% of the time, the issue is that the person's mind is leaning somewhere other than God. Almost always. Their mind is leaning somewhere other than God. In Proverbs chapter 3, it says, we're not to lean on our own understanding. So let me ask you, think about a place in your life where you're struggling for peace today. Where is that place where you're struggling for peace? And here are some questions for you. What does your understanding say about that situation? What does your mind say about that? What are you saying to yourself about that? Our enemy is very crafty, and he uses our thoughts against us. In psychology, they're called automatic thoughts. I can't help what happens automatically. I'm a sinner. I have sinful automatic thoughts. But the scripture says we do have a choice as to what to do with those thoughts once they come. The scripture says that we can take them captive, and we can make them obedient to Christ. And that's what brings us peace. Every time I see someone that comes to a place of perfect peace right before my eyes, it is because their mind becomes leaned on God. They start to see that past upset. They start to see maybe that present circumstance, or they start to see that future worry in the light of God's glory and God's grace. Their mind starts to be leaned in another place on the Lord. So ask yourself, what lie am I believing about this situation? What lie am I believing about myself in this situation? Very important questions. Another thing we can ask is, what does God see in this? How does God see this? What does He say about this? And this is where the scripture reading is so important. Like, if I don't spend time with God in the beginning of the day, I'm in big trouble. I'm going to spend 7 or 8 hours listening to some of the worst stuff you've ever heard. Like, if I'm not in the scriptures, my mind is going to be leaned somewhere else. And so the scriptures is very important because it shows us, what does God say about these things? So the second step to perfect and constant peace is to stay. The third step is to trust. We see that in verse number 3. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Here it is. Because he trusts in you. So what's happening when we lean our mind on the Lord, we're beginning to trust him more. Trusting in God is the opposite of leaning on your own understanding. We sing this song, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. How I've proved him over and over. We sang a song today that we can prove the delights of his love. How do we prove the delights of his love? We trust him, and we trust him to bring us peace, and he does. I can prove him. I can test his trustworthiness by trusting him in the big of life and in the small of life. Jesus, Jesus, the song says, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, for grace to trust him more. Ask God for more grace to trust him. The song continues, yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and what? Peace. So the third step to perfect and constant peace is to trust. The fourth step is to walk. We see that in verse number 7. God is beside us every step along this journey. We are yoked up with him, the New Testament says. It is our expectation that God is going to level our way. He is going to level our way. Do you know what brain science? Do you know what brain science shows us? It shows us that once we have an insight about something, I don't know if you've ever seen this. Before I learned more about counseling, I'd be sitting with people. They'd have an insight. We'd talk about it. We'd pray about it. They'd go. They'd come back the next week. I'd say, you had that amazing insight last week. So tell me how things went this week. No, they went poorly. They'd get an insight that day. At the end of the session, we'd pray together. They'd come back. They'd keep coming back. They'd have these insights. They'd go. They'd come back, and they'd be exactly the same. I'm saying, Lord, what's going on here? You're giving them insight. And they're going and they're coming back and nothing's changing. Well, science shows us that once we have an insight about something, there is a small window of opportunity. There is hours. And within those hours, if we don't put it into practice, if we don't see evidence of that insight, if we don't have like a magnet and we don't catch on to what that thing is that God is talking to us about, if we don't put it into practice, we lose it. It's the way things work, and you've probably seen it in your life. I've also noticed that the people who make the most progress in their spiritual life, the people who make the most progress in their emotional life, are those who are walking it out, who are learning from God, who are yoked up. During the week, if I give them an exercise and say, try this week, you know what they say when they come back? I tried it 10 times. I tried it 15 times. I tried it over here, and I tried it over there, and I tried it over here. They're putting it into practice. And guess what? For them, change becomes easier and easier because God's giving them peace. What's happening there? God is leveling the way. The way is leveled as they walk hand in hand and they learn from the Lord. And so it says, we yoke up with Jesus. And what happens? We learn from him in those moments when we're yoked up to him. It's a walk. And then, so that's step number 4. To perfect and constant peace, we walk. And then step number 5 is that we wait. In verses 8 and 9, it says, in the paths of your judgment, we wait for you. We wait for you. Your name and remembrance are the desire of our soul. Our soul yearns for you in the night. My spirit within me earnestly seeks you. Waiting for God's will to be done on earth is one of the hardest things I can think of. It's hard. Waiting is hard work, right? We're waiting. We're not working, but it's hard work to wait. I have a client that I've been working with for like a year and a half, and he came to me for one issue. And when we did like trauma history, there was only that one thing on there, and then a couple things related to it. Usually, when I work with people, I have an entire list, and we have to go through, sometimes we have to go through every single one to get them healing. But for this person, this is going to be easy. He's got this one thing. A year and a half, we're still working on it. Shouldn't have taken more than 6 weeks to resolve this. And in the waiting, God keeps reminding me that he is there with us in that sacred space. He keeps showing me the tiny steps forward that we're taking. Tiny steps. And you know what's happening is my soul is yearning for God to do more. Sometimes I get angry. I'm like, Lord, it shouldn't take this long. Like, why does he have to suffer one more minute? But what I think is happening there is my soul is yearning. Lord, I'm yearning for you to do something here. Lord, my spirit is earnestly seeking God every single session. Apparently, that's what's supposed to happen in the waiting. If you're walking with God every day, don't be weary in well-doing. You will reap if you don't faint. In the waiting, focus on God's name, as it says here. Lord, let your name be glorified in this moment. If it takes another year and a half, will you let your name be glorified? In the waiting, focus on his glory. God be glorified in the situation. Let my soul yearn in this time of waiting, and let my spirit seek God. If we do that, God says we've been faithful. So step 5 to perfect and constant peace is to wait. And then step 6, closely akin to it, is to rest. Verse number 12, it says, you have indeed done for us all our works. In Hebrews last week, we noticed the scripture saying his works were finished, God's works were finished before the foundation of the world. And whoever has entered into God's rest has also rested from his works. So we rest from our works. We're not trying to gain salvation by our works. We're not trying to gain peace for ourselves. We're resting in the peace of God. He has done everything that we need for peace, so we can rest. You ever notice the words of Psalm 23 where it says, he makes me lie down in green pastures? Why does God have to make me lie down? Why does he have to make me rest? Because I won't naturally rest in the green pastures of the gospel, will I? I sometimes must be made to rest. I have noticed this theme with the most peaceful people that I've come across. They are working on difficult issues. Here's what they sometimes say to me. I'm sitting on the lap of Jesus right now. It's like he told the little kids, come to me. Let the children come to me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And the children probably climbed up onto his lap. That's what I'm doing in this moment right now. I'm climbing up on Jesus' lap and I'm resting there. Jesus, I am resting. Someone said, I'm laying all of this stuff that we talked about today. I'm laying it at the cross right now. I'm just going to leave it right there here at the end of our time. Leave it there. I can go on and on with examples, but the common theme is that people begin to realize they can rest. Their souls are restless until they find their rest in the Lord. If you want peace, I'm going to encourage you to cast those cares on the Lord. Bring them into his lap. Bring them to the foot of the cross and leave them there. Rest. So step 6, the perfect and constant peace is to rest. And then 7, it says for us to look, verses 19 through 21. These verses describe what's going to happen in the future. The dead will live. Bodies are going to rise. God is going to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their sin. The earth will disclose the wrongs that have been done. Verse 21, it says, behold, look at this. It's kind of gross to look at, isn't it? To look at that. It's not fun. But what does that have to do with peace? See, God says, look at what God is going to do. So many of the situations that cause me panic or distress or agitation are the things that have been done to me or the circumstances that have been imposed upon me. And in order for me to live a perfectly peaceful and be constantly in that peace, I have to stop looking back at all those things and I have to start looking forward. That person that upsets you will give an account to God. I hope that's comforting to you today. God will make all things right. I hope that's a comfort to you today. God will wipe every tear from your eyes. I hope that's comforting to you today. Look forward, my friend. Look forward to what's about to happen. One of the most interesting things I think about the verse that we looked at today is focusing on verse number 3 is that the word peace is used twice in the Hebrew Bible. We can't see it because most of us can't read Hebrew, but it says, you will keep him in shalom, shalom. You will keep him in shalom, shalom. You will keep him in peace, peace. So what is one word in Hebrew repeated twice? In English, it takes us 4 English words to translate. Perfect and constant peace, as one translation says it. Shalom, shalom. So the interesting thing, even more interesting than that to me, is that our peace is not a thing. Our peace is not a commodity that can be traded. It is a person. Our peace is a person. Who is our shalom, shalom? It's Jesus. He is the Prince of Peace. He says to his disciples after the resurrection, before he ascended, peace be with you. My peace I leave with you. We do not seek peace for peace itself, but we seek the person who brings peace, the person who is peace. He gives us the wisdom to live in this peace. He gives us the courage to live in this peace. He gives us the energy to take the steps that we read about today, those 7 steps to peace. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. Let's offer our prayer to the Lord. Lord, you have given us peace. You have not given us peace the way that the world gives peace. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us a different kind of peace, a different quality of peace, and you've given it to us in a different way. You have gifted it to us, Lord, and it is but for us to accept today. So, Father, make us willing to accept this beautiful gift that you have for us. I pray, Lord, for this real and lasting peace that you give your people. Help those who have not entered into this peace, who have not entered into Christ, Lord. May your Spirit draw them right now. May they respond in faith. Help those of us who want to have more of that peace. Let not our hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Amen.